Hey, websites are a thing. This episode of It's Super Effective is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy and fast to create your own professional websites, portfolios, or online stores. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the promo code Pokemon at checkout. Squarespace is simple and easy to use. Pokemon Podcast has been using Squarespace for over 4 years. Since we're too busy playing Pokemon, it's great that Squarespace offers 24/7 support through live chat and email. Plans start at only $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a full year. Squarespace features responsive design, so that means when you design your home page on your Mac or PC, it is already mobile ready for your iOS or your Android device. You can start Squarespace with a free trial and no credit card required. Remember, when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you use the offer code Pokemon to get 10% off your first purchase and to show your support for It's Super Effective. We thank Squarespace for their support of It's Super Effective. Squarespace, a better web starts with your website. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 150th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. My name is SBJ, and we made it to 150, guys. We're a Mewtwo now in the Pokemon world. With me today, I have our ever-loving Will.
And because I wasn't on last week, I wrote down all of the questions that you guys answered, and I am now prepared to give you all of my answers for those questions. So, ready for an enjoyable 2 hours of programming from Will.
A lot of our listeners liked the Q&A segment.
Yeah.
I think that was all right, especially since we've had a slow news week, which is weird since Pokemon Nationals is taking place right now. Our other special guests, for it being episode 150, we wanted to get the coolest Pokemon person in the world here. So we got the webmaster of Serebii with us today. For those of you that don't know his first name, it's Joe. And hi, Joe.
Hey, I'm glad to be here for the milestone.
Pretty exciting. You've never obviously been on the show, and our listeners might not know your first name or who you are, but they know... I think everyone knows Serebii.net. A little bit about yourself.
I run Serebii.net, obviously. I live in England, and I've been doing this for almost 15 years now. So,
are you a hardcore Pokemon fanboy behind the scenes, or is this just kind of like your day job now?
Oh, hardcore Pokemon fanboy, absolutely.
That's exciting. Well, Our show's going to pan out the usual way, so we're going to start with some news. Not that much news this week, but then our middle segment is going to be just firing questions off to Joe to get a little bit more about him and what goes on behind Serebii.net. Get the exclusive scoop of how it works. And then we'll wrap up with Pokemon of the Week, and I think we have one or two listener mails to cover as well. So nothing fantastic here, but hopefully you guys will enjoy the show. We got a super good response for 149, our last episode, so you guys apparently thought that was funny. I don't know why.
Me either.
All right, so our first bit of news is... some old news, actually. Just a reminder, because it's kind of pretty big news, that Pokemon has a dedicated iTunes channel for its cartoons, music, and apps in iTunes. Dedicated iTunes channel in iTunes. Awesome. I'm just stuttering away here. So if you guys didn't listen to last week's episode, or you're not an iTunes goer, this is pretty exciting news. So usually big name things like Game of Thrones or The Wire or 24, they all have dedicated iTunes pages because usually they're pretty popular. iTunes and Pokemon partner together, so Pokemon also has a dedicated iTunes page. So that includes their apps like the Pokedex app, the Pokemon TV app, new X and Y TV shows that just hit iTunes, as long as Pokemon organs and all the soundtracks as well. And I don't know, I asked Travis and Logan last time, they said they both don't really purchase things in iTunes. What about you two?
Not really. I mean, get the apps. I've got all of the soundtracks, because obviously.
Right.
Episodes, not really a purchaser of them.
Are you a watcher of the anime?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I know Will's a watcher of the anime.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, wait, did you purchase them, Will, or no?
No, I'm not really an own the media that I can capture on my TiVo kind of guy. But if the whole season of the X and Y series, if I like it a lot, I might buy the series just because I like this season a lot more than previous seasons.
Yeah. I know Black and White is on Netflix and it started off good, but it's kind of gone downhill. But maybe it'll pick back up.
No.
No.
It doesn't. No.
I heard when N comes, it gets really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when he leaves, it gets worse.
Awesome. Let's see here. We have some TCG stuff. Furious Fist is coming on August 13th. That's the new TCG expansion, which is, I think that's a couple days before. I think that's a day or two before Worlds. Worlds is weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, this set is not playable in Worlds. I think the TCG has a new rule where if a set comes out, it can't be played for like 60 days in a tournament.
It's 3 weeks from the U.S. release.
Okay. But if you love Mega Lucario, he's getting a lot of love in this set, which doesn't surprise me. Mega Lucario and Charizard or Lucario and Charizard get a lot of love regardless, but... we have Mega Lucario EX, Mega Heracross EX, Hawlucha EX, which is pretty cool. Seismitoad EX, Dragonite EX, some new fossil Pokemon that no one will ever use because it's fossils. Karina is coming as a gym leader card. And that's about it. I think there's like 115 cards in the set.
Yeah.
The number somewhere, but.
And it's very fighting focused.
Yeah.
Yep. Where the last set was very fire focused. It's disappointing that they don't mix things up, or at least do half and half, like give us half fighting, half grass or something. There's always like one or two, 110 cards. I just read this. There's like always this one type that's usually dominant in the format. And for the longest time it's been dark. But when we talk about national stuff, we'll talk about what the decks that are kind of winning right now. More TCG news. This fall, we will get a Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise all EX tins coming out with four booster packs in said tins. So we are not. It doesn't state which booster packs are coming in yet. But if you're looking for Charizard EX or Venusaur EX or Blastoise EX, easy $14.99 in the U.S. to pick those up this fall. Like always, I think last fall was Mewtwo, Yveltal, and what was the last one? Darkrai. What else do we have? Like I said, slow news week, guys. Polygon has been running a lot of Pokemon articles recently. I don't know if any of you guys or the listeners go to polygon.com, but it's a sister site of TheVerge.com. Pretty cool gaming site, I think. Someone I check most frequently, but they've been running a lot of Pokemon articles recently. This one I thought was interesting. They did an article about what happens at the Pokemon company recently, and they also did an article about in the Pokemon universe, what do humans eat? And it kind of explains that humans, of course, eat Pokemon. We get that with in the games where we see the Slowpoke tails getting eaten, and I think Farfetch's Pokedex also says that it almost went extinct because it got eaten. I'm not sure if there's any other Pokemon that get eaten, though.
Well, they tried with Magikarp in the anime, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Magikarp. I can't imagine that's a delicious meal.
Well, you don't know. It's, fish. Freshwater fish.
Isn't like Magikarp's scales like super hard though? Isn't that what the
are they?
Is? I feel like in the episode where they're on the boat, the SS Anne, like Meowth tries to bite into the Magikarp and then breaks his teeth. Obviously, anime isn't kosher, but I remember them like saying like Magikarp's scales are like super hard.
I know if I was going to eat a Pokemon, there's only one Pokemon I'd want to eat, and that's Arceus. Get the king of all Pokemon in my belly.
It's a good choice. What would you imagine that tastes like? Like a deer?
I would imagine it would taste like cosmic awareness. Something on the verge of LSD or something. I don't know.
Oh, Arceus. The most exciting news, and I think we talked about this last week, was the grand opening of the PokemonCenter.com on August 6th. Probably not as exciting for Joe as it is for us.
Yeah, so disappointing.
I'm sure they'll ship to the UK. It'll probably be extremely expensive.
They don't. It says on the site now.
Oh, really?
So sad. I just spent so much money.
They're doing a soft launch right now for anyone. If you go to PokemonCenter.com and they have three items. Apparently, there's going to be three items every week. This week is stuffed Pikachu that's supposed to be like running, I guess.
Yeah, it looks like that.
$12.99, I believe. There is a Mewtwo tumbler, which is pretty cool. I think that's $18. And then there is a set of Eevee evolution pins, which is super overpriced, I think, for $24. I ordered the Pikachu and the tumbler the day the site went, and they shipped the next day. So that was pretty cool that it shipped the next day. It looks like at least behind the scenes, they got things up and running to, you know, start shipping first thing the next morning. I think I'm going to get it on Monday or Tuesday, so I'll give you guys a Twitter update once I get them, see how it's packaged, see where it's coming from, that kind of stuff. I'm assuming it's coming from Seattle, if I was to guess. But this was announced through means of social media. So we talked about this last week, but Pokemon reached out to some individuals on Twitter, I believe, if I remember off the top of my head. Justin Flynn, Marilyn, Jay Witz, all names you guys have probably heard of. Ash Lisa Fangirl, I believe.
Ash Fangirl Lisa.
Yes. and like two other people. I think there were six total. I'm sorry for the other names. I can't remember. But obviously you're more popular than we are because you got the packages. Not surprising that no one out of the U.S. didn't get any. So I'm sure if this was worldwide, Joe would have gotten one.
Yeah, I would have done.
But obviously, since this is restricted only to the U.S., it makes sense that no one in Australia or U.K. or anything got that, which is a little disappointing.
But yeah, Joe, you could have gone on the tunnel to go to Paris, right? The Paris Pokemon Center.
Yeah, so
we couldn't do that.
Yeah, but the Paris Pokemon Center, it was a fantastic idea. It did really well, but they had some issues with it and ended up with such huge queues. They had to limit everyone to buying one thing each.
Really?
That's rough.
Yeah. One of my friends went and she was so disappointed because of that.
So you haven't went yet?
No, it closed 2 weeks ago now on the 21st.
It closed?
Yeah, it was like only temporary.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They did it like a pop-up store.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
So where, London will be next.
Yeah, I guess it could pop up. Where are you located in UK? Is that like a far ferry to Paris? Or?
No, I'm on the south coast, so I could just hop on a ferry if I wanted to.
Okay.
But effort.
Effort. Then you have to deal with French people.
Oh, God.
God.
Too much to ask of anyone.
So, I'm not sure what three items I'll have next week. Hopefully, when the store launches, it launches with more than what they're showing every week. Hopefully, it's building up to something. But I would expect that the store would also include the mail carrier Pikachu, the Pikachu iPhone case, notepad, and that really cool Pokemon Tumblr that they had, the Pikachu Tumblr that was all black with like the glossy, like subtleness that Pikachu had on it. That was really cool. But yeah, that was pretty exciting. Hopefully that means that Pokemon Center's online will jump up around Paris, around UK, around Australia. But who knows?
Yeah.
I think overall everyone's pretty happy. Instead of like a store located in New York, now you can get your stuff anywhere. And I think the last time the PokemonCenter.com was up, and Joe probably remembers this more than any of us, but that was like 2008?
That's when it ended, yeah. It was up for a fair bit before that. I think it was up for at least 3 years.
Now, did that one ship worldwide, or was that US?
I don't think so. It was a long time ago. Eras passed.
Yeah, 2008 is what? 5-6 years ago?
6 years,
man.
Yeah.
So
depressing.
Let's see. I think that's all we got for news. Besides, we can cover the national championship stuff is happening right now. Nothing exciting though, just juniors and seniors, which obviously no one cares about. We only want that masters. But that's happening in the US. The U.S. Nationals are taking place in Indianapolis, like they always have, kind of the center of the United States. But I think the Masters stuff start in a couple hours, well after recording this. But I got the top eight up for the Masters video games. So we had Ray Rizzo, who was a three-time world champion. Alex Ozaga, John Hugh, Jundi Azaria, Logan Castro, Gavin Michaels, Adam Allum, and Simon Yip. I probably slaughtered all your names, but that was your top eight for Masters. I'm not sure if you guys know any of these guys besides, I think everyone knows Ray Rizzo.
Yeah, that's the only name I recognize.
When I asked Twitter, they all... It was kind of split between Alex and Adib Allum. Lost for names here. But those are the two finals. Ray Rizzo got knocked out right away by Alex Ozaga, and then Alex Ozaga got knocked out John Hugh. And then we have Adib Allum on the other side. So that's tonight. I think those are two new people, or I've never seen those names before. I watched the last 3 years pretty heavily, so but I have a bad memory for when it comes to names. We have then the TCG stuff. So juniors is already over. Andy Younger won the junior division for TCG. Seniors is probably going on right now. That's between His Hand Jazzy and Jeremiah Williams, and Masters is coming down to Michael Pramawat, who is one of the four people that help run the Top Cut.
Well, congrats to him because he's local. He's local to me.
He's in
Northern Virginia.
Yep, and the he is against Brandon Salazar, who I want to say he was in like top 16 or something last year. His name seems very familiar, but I could be wrong. Super funny story about Michael Pramawat is. The Nationals where Will and I met, was that 3 years ago now?
2012.
Yeah, because we skipped this year and I skipped last year. That was the last time I competed national level in the TCG. And I think I was running a Vanillux deck, which was a poor choice on my decision. Irene was running that Esselgor Reuniclus. That crazy weird Mew EX deck, and round one she was against Michael Pramawat, and she was just chatting his head off because obviously we both know Kyle, and Kyle's kind of like the main guy who runs the Top Cut, and it was down. Michael Pramawat needed one more prize to win, and Irene needed six. She was just playing terrible, and then finally her deck clicked, and she was able to beat Michael Pramawat. And since Irene lost out for the rest of the day, that was her only win at Nationals. It like ruined his record and prevented him from actually going anywhere at Nationals that year. And I remember talking to Kyle, and Michael was very upset about that. That was her best win, though. She beat Michael Pramelot, who might now be national champion.
I remember that day because she started at table one, too, which is like...
Yeah, she started super high.
Why is she starting at table one?
When she plays, she plays so weird either. She does really, really well, or she just, completely flops out. But I guess that's kind of how, the TCG works, since it's so random. And that's why I got out of it.
Yep, me too. And Joe, you were smart enough not to ever get into it.
No.
Do you still buy the cards and collect them, or?
I used to, but it is quite a money sink.
Oh yeah, every 3 months you're dropping at least $100 to $200.
Yeah.
And whatever that converts out to British money.
Well, pretty much it's essentially the same, because they just think, oh yeah, let's do a direct conversion of the prices. I'm like, oh, thanks.
Awesome. Well, that's all the news we have for you guys. I'm sure by the time you guys listen to this, we'll have our U.S. Nationals TCG person and our U.S. National VGC person. I'm not sure how the VGCs work completely, but I do know everyone in the top eight for the TCGs all get paid trips to Worlds. Which isn't that far. It's in Washington, D.C.
No, not far at all.
And when they come visit you, Will, you'll actually be in Indiana.
Supposedly.
So we will take a quick break. And then when we come back, we will grill Joe about a bunch of Serebii-related items.
I got my questions ready.
Sounds fun.
And we are back from our break. Breaking news as we were on break. Pokemon, the Twitter, just tweeted that the deck lists are starting to hit for the TCG senior division right now, and it looks like they're starting to pull in some of the stuff for the junior division as well. I would imagine that we're going to be seeing this with the video game teams momentarily as well. So it's Pokemon.com/US/play Pokemon, or I think it's on their homepage. You hit the giant Nationals button and it'll take you there. But cool to see that deck list and teams being used. But let's interview Joe here. nothing incriminating we have in questions. The first question is, when did you start Serebii?
Oh, that's a good question. It was in October 1999. It's pretty crazy. There are now users on the site who are younger than the site. That is the one thing that makes me feel completely and utterly old.
Was there really internet back then?
Well, we had just invented the wheel, so.
Yeah.
Is Serebii the only site you've created and ran, or during kind of because 1999 was where all these older sites that are still around or still running, did you try to branch off and do anything else besides Pokemon?
I did consider doing a Zelda site at one point, but I just never really put the time into it, so I never bothered.
Got it. Now, is Serebii your full-time job, or do you have a real job outside of... Not that, running a website is not a real job, but...
I like to call it a full-time hobby. But I do a lot of freelance work, both web design and journalistic, so that allows me to merge my time and manage it so I can spend as much on the site as I need to.
It's like there's never Pokemon news where you're not, if not, the first person posting. So it's like, I don't know if this dude works at all. Like, he's just, this news just dropped and he's already posting. I don't understand.
Well, the only time that doesn't happen, and even then it sometimes does, is when I'm asleep and just have a friend who just wakes me and, oh, look, computer's on. Let's quickly update. And then fall back asleep on the keyboard.
Got it. How many people help out over at Serebii?
Oh, five tops, really. Most of it is me, but I've got a few Pokemon of the Week writers, because even though I do competitive battle, there are people who are better than me, and so I delegate that to them. And there's a couple who help me with translations, because I don't really know Japanese that well.
Hey, do you have somebody who plays the Japanese games for you and then reports back?
No, that's me. I can just muddle through. If I get stuck, I send a screenshot to a friend, to one of my translator friends, and they say, yeah, he's saying that, go do that.
You are far braver than I. What are these weird squiggles on the screen? What's going on?
Well, it's been long enough. I'm starting to pick some of it up. So,
got it. Speaking of games, what's your favorite Pokemon game to date?
Oh, that is the hardest question anyone can ever ask me. Main game, X and Y. Have to say that, because the engine used for the battles is just so spectacular. You can see the intricacies of every Pokemon design, which you wouldn't normally be able to see with the sprites, and that made it my favorite by far.
That's a good reason. I did like the spin-off how they got games. Away from sprites and stuff.
Yeah, the spin-off games, I'd have to say PokePark 2.
Okay.
It's probably an unusual choice. Most people would say, oh, Snap or TCG GB, but PokePark 2, it's a decent action-adventure game, and the battle system is just amazing. I would love for them to do another game and just focus on that battle system.
Interesting choice, yeah. I would have assumed Snap or something.
Yeah. Well, Snap is... It's a good game, but I just... complete it so quickly.
Yeah.
Needs more content for it to be an absolute classic.
Fair enough. Let's see here. Now, what got you into Pokemon originally? I think 1999 is when kind of the whole world got hit with it at once.
Yeah, well, it was at school. A friend of mine had gone to America, because this was long before it was out here. And gone to America and got Pokemon Red, brought it back, and I just loved it, because I've always been a mathematics person, and so the maths behind it intrigued me, and that just dragged me into it. And so I imported a copy, because there was no release date yet for it, so I just imported a copy and just got into it, and I just marathoned it and got to the Elite Four in one night.
Jeez.
Defeating Gary with just my Charizard, which was ridiculously overleveled, and it was just using struggle over and over. It was the most intense fight of my life.
That's awesome. Now, how does like getting into Pokemon in one night translate into building an entire website? Like, obviously you would have had to have web skills at this point.
I didn't have any web skills back then. It's just something which I was bored at lunchtime and thought, oh, you know what, I'll make a site, because GeoCities existed then and made sites easy. So I just said, yeah, I'll make a Pokemon site. And that's how it started. And it just snowballed.
Yeah, I was going to say, who was your original web host? Back in 99, there weren't that many options.
When did the site really take off? Obviously, when you first started it, you weren't getting like exclusive Pokemon news or anything like that.
Oh, well, that would probably be in around 2002, in the run-up to Ruby and Sapphire, because that's when I found a friend who's living in Japan, and he would get me images of Korokoro. And then I'd post those, because back then, very, very few places dealt with the Japanese arm of the franchise. And so that's where I carved my niche, and that's where things have grown from.
Yeah, I think Serebii's pretty known for Korokoro scans.
Yeah.
Favorite non-Pokemon game? Let's get off topic a little bit.
Oh, that's really hard to say. If anyone who follows me on Twitter would know, I am a massive Nintendo fanboy.
So, yes, I learned that over E3.
Well, my favorite game of all time would have to be Secret of Mana on the SNES, which is kind of funny because it's not a Nintendo-developed game. But just love that game so much.
And you mentioned earlier you were a Zelda fanboy.
Yeah, love the Zelda series. So excited for the new one.
let's see here. So I think you kind of answered this, but how do you get news so fast? It seems like you have Japanese people messaging you at the wee hours of the night.
God awful hours of the morning. Yeah, just keep an eye out. I mean, the thing which I like about this is that other than a few odd occurrences, the news is so routinely scheduled, I can tell when something is going to come. Even with leaks which come online from Japanese forums, I know exactly what time the usual leakers tend to post it, and so I'm just there when they do it. It's just routine.
I guess that makes sense after you've been doing it for 15 some years.
Yeah.
So doing it so long, you know, over a decade here, have you ever suffered Pokemon fatigue where you're just like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this, or like, I'm really tired of the games coming out, just any or?
Yeah, a couple of times. I mean, most notably, it was within Generation 3. I mean, Ruby and Sapphire were the first games I ever completely covered from the Japanese launch. But Generation 3, it just didn't sit right with me at the time. I mean, it cut off the compatibility of the previous games. Only 200 Pokemon were available back then. And everything just felt weird and non-Pokemon-ish, which is such a generic thing to say when you're complaining about Pokemon. But Fire Red and Leaf Green kept me hanging, and then Diamond and Pearl brought my love completely back. And now I do look back on Generation 3 with fondness, and I'm so excited for Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
Do you think the Pokemon Company is going to fix the problems that everybody had with Generation 3 in these releases?
I hope so. I mean, if you look at the map, there's a few smaller islands along the water routes. So there's definitely going to be some stop off. And I hope it has a better post game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you battled the rival, you never battled them with Sceptile, Blaziken, or Swampert, which was ridiculous.
You kind of answered this in our news, but you don't play the TCG at all.
No. I just can't get into that. I don't want to lose all of my money.
Even in early 1999, when I think the two most powerful cards were Charizard and I think Chansey. Did you get into it then, or was it still like not appealing?
Yeah, I got into it then. It wasn't my money; it was my parents' money. So.
That's awesome. But you obviously you still post TCG related news on Serebii.
Yeah. Has to be done. Got to cover as many facets of the franchise as possible. The only thing I don't really cover is like obscure Japanese news, like voice actors and the Japanese groups doing the songs, and I don't cover merchandise.
Okay. So in the reverse, do you play like competitive video games?
Yes and no. I do enjoy competitive battling, but I try to go away from where all the competitive battlers put their teams. Like if people are going with Kangaskhan and Talonflame and Aegislash, which, you know, they are, I go completely obscure and go Nidoking, Gorgeist, and things like that. So I've messed up so many competitive strategies with what they call my anti-meta game teams.
Did you go to UK Nationals?
Yeah, actually, this year was the first time I ever actually got around to going, and it was absolutely amazing. I loved every second of it.
Isn't it a lot of fun to play like in competitive against people who are there in the room? I love doing that.
And
I know it's a bit arrogant to say this, but I love the look on the faces when people see Serebii's challenging you, because I don't introduce myself as Serebii, because that's a bit, you know, egotistical. and people don't really know my face, so it's always a nice surprise.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you go out like to Pokemon events, do people recognize who you are, or...?
Yeah, a few people did, and a few people asked for photos with me. Pretty cool to go there and to battle people, because there's not really that much of a Pokemon battling scene where I live. which is a shame. Should probably set one up, actually.
Let's see. So kind of bouncing off the playing Pokemon competitively, what are your thoughts on EVs and IVs? Do you do your own EV training and IV training, or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that a lot of competitive players, they outsource doing their teams and they get other people to breed it, and then they just EV train it and put it up. And I've seen people actually get screwed over by that because they don't play the actual game. And some, I saw a couple of people who never got to Shalor City and never got the Mega Ring, and they couldn't Mega Evolve their Pokemon in the battles because they didn't have a Mega Ring.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, you
seriously, people
that.
Showed up for competition like that?
It's just Mega Evolves, right, guys?
That sounds like a Will Anderson maneuver. Oh, wait, they have to be level 50? What?
But yeah, I mean, whilst I appreciate how easy it is to do IV breeding now, part of me feels it's sort of against the point of IVs. Because the way I see it is IVs are meant to be the Pokemon's genetics. Like, you're good at one thing. Like, some people, they're good at running. Others are good at, like, punching.
Right.
And Pokemon are like that. And so having pure, perfect Pokemon is not something that we should have had. But people have been aiming for that. And that's why we had RNG abuse. And that's so prevalent in Gen 5. And now we don't need that because it's so easy to IV breed. Just could do it in an hour.
I feel like you're looking at my notes because my next question was, what are your thoughts on RNG?
Well, personally, I am against it. I mean, a lot of people will know that I'm a purist. I think the game should be played how the developers intend it to be played. But I'm going to have people trashing me now on Twitter for saying that.
So still kind of bouncing around this competitive Pokemon, do you ever look at Smogon or do the, what's that called, Pokemon Online? I can't, Pokemon Showdown, that's what I was looking. Do you do any of that kind of stuff?
No, I don't. I, as I said, I'm a purist. I just go straight into the games and I try to work out my own strategies and just, because if everyone's using the same strategy, then the battles are just going to be so predictable.
Right.
And although people are using the same Pokemon, I was watching the national stuff yesterday and I saw some interesting twists on how the standard Pokemon are played, and that makes me very happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of people come to me and say, Serebii, can you help me with this team? And I'm like, I could, but I'd prefer not to because I feel a team should be representative of the person.
Yeah, I agree.
Sounding a bit like Karen from the Johto League.
What do you think of the, I think this is really a new trend, but maybe I just haven't been paying attention long enough. The new like mini battles that they have every month now, and they're having the different kind of themes to them. Like the July one is the Eevee battles. And then I know in October they're going to do the Gourgeist battles.
Oh, I love it. I love every way you can twist battles to just be not the same standard VGC style. So, I mean, EV friendly, I'm not participating in that because all the teams are going to essentially be the same because there's only 9 viable Pokemon for it.
Yeah.
So actually, teams 8 will because no one's going to pick Flareon.
Poor Flareon. Just funny how everyone was saying, oh yeah, once it gets Flare Blitz, it's going to be amazing. And then they gave it Flare Blitz, and it's like, oh, it still sucks.
What features do you want to see added to Pokemon? Of course, over the years, we've seen a lot of features added and then taken back, like when we saw HeartGold, SoulSilver move into Black and White. But like, what would be added that maybe that did used to exist or hasn't exist that you want to see in the games?
Oh, that is a really tricky question. I mean, I would say Pokemon following you would be a good thing to have back. But really, in the 3D world, having it so it's believable, like walking around and you've got a 40-foot Wailord following you, just destroying everything. It's not exactly logical. But I'm not sure. I would like to see contests back in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I really hope they are, because that was an interesting twist, but to battles, I always like those. So anything which is a twist on battles or just gives you a different way to play with your Pokemon, like the Pokéathlon in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. And musicals was really a missed opportunity in my view, because what did you do? You just sat there and watched them. And sometimes pressing a button to twirl your tennis racket. Exactly. It's like, oh, for God's sake.
Were you a fan of Pokemon and Me?
Yes, I've really enjoyed that. I mean, it does help with training. Just sit there for an hour, just throwing the Pokepuffs at your Pokemon and then playing with it for a few minutes just so it would be hungry again, throw it just to get it so it'll have the boosting experience points to boost some critical hit. And if the opponent paralyzes you, and oh wait, it's cured, thank you. And so I hope that continues on, because it is a good feature and it really creates a bond between you and these 3D models. It's like, oh, isn't that Klefki cute? Oh, the Tyranitar wants to be petted. That's normal.
What's your least favorite thing about the games?
The hacks in the battle facilities. Because you're going through, you've got a fantastic team, you're just going through, and oh wait, it decides to critical hit you with every move, and every move with like 70% accuracy hits every time. It's like, come on, that's not AI, that's just cheap.
To switch gears a little bit, and I think you mentioned it, but you're a watcher of the anime?
Yes, I am.
So what's your favorite series, if you would have to recommend somebody to start watching? I think we already said that Black and White kind of went downhill, but...
If Black and White continued the way it started, I'd definitely have said that, but I'd have to say X and Y, because the new series, they must have got a new showrunner or something, because it's well written, it's enjoyable, it's funny, and there's bits which harken back to the times of old. And I could say, oh yeah, the original series, but watching that, I mean, it's good, but there's so much stock footage over and over. Yes. Like, I watched Charizard Chills a few months ago, and like the same polygraph using hydro pump. It was just used but like six times in the episode. It's like, and now with the X and Y series, you don't have it cutting with the anime style background. You actually see the moves in the context of the battle, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you big on collecting plushes and other Pokemon merchandise, or is that another money sink for you?
It is a money sink. It's not something I really do, but whenever there's something cool, like the Klefki keyring, which just came out in Japan, as soon as Klefki was revealed, I knew that was coming, and I said to Jin, who runs Sunny Shore, to keep an eye out for one of those, because it is coming, and I want one. And it is going to be on my keys as soon as it arrives. I've got a couple of Celebi plushies, obviously, and... Even though it's not technically merchandise, my parents got me a Celebi Game Boy Advance for my birthday last year. So,
oh, cool. Best Pokemon movie ever?
Ooh, tricky.
No, there's really only one right answer.
It's definitely not the Celebi movie, I'll tell you that right now.
Yes, it is. You're wrong, Steve. It's the Celebi movie.
Oh, which one? Don't forget that Celebi has been a focal point of two of them, hasn't it?
Has he?
Yeah, and
Pokemon
every time.
Forever.
And Zoroark, Master of Illusions.
Oh, I didn't know he was in that one. I haven't seen the Zoroark one.
And in both movies... The antagonist chokes Celebi. Kind of feel a bit slighted by that.
Hmm.
I just like the one where the Celebis from the past and the future come back and they're like, we'll all work together. And then you're like, is it one Celebi traveling through time or is it all different ones?
And that's part of the reason why I like Celebi so much. I mean, I'm a sci-fi buff. I love my time travel. I mean, I'm a big Doctor Who fan. I love Star Trek, especially the time travel episodes. And that's probably part of why I just focused on Celebi. I mean, at least subconsciously, because it's just time travel. I mean, got like 50 billion Celebi here, and oh look, wait, no, it's actually one just ripping the space-time continuum in there.
Going back to your site, obviously it's named after Celebi, but it's Cerebi. How did you come up with that name?
Well, when I originally started, because I was 13, I was stupid. It was originally called Joe's Pokemon Page. Most imaginative name ever.
I don't get why you didn't keep that name. It's so good.
And then Gold and Silver came out. And because every website then, every small website, because it was just everyone had like Muse Domain, Muse Dungeon, Muse Paradise, Muse Wooden Shack. And so Celebi was the Mew of the times. And we didn't have the Japanese name then. So all we had was the literal translation of each character, Cerebi. And so I stuck with that, even though the Japanese name when fully romanized is Celebi. So I just stuck with that, and it was Cerebi's Pokemon page. And then I shortened that to SPP. Then when I got the domain in 2001, I changed it to Cerebi.net and just had Cerebi.net SPP. And then I just dropped the SPP. So that's the history of the name. It's just Cerebi.net now.
So
self-advertising.
Joe's Pokemon page redirects, right? I can still type that in.
I don't think so. I mean, GeoCities died, so you can't see that site ever. And it was a visual catastrophe. It had neon green with black. It's like, what was I thinking?
That's awesome. Let's see what else we have. List is running a little thin here. Favorite Pokemon? I don't know if it's going to be the obvious answer of Celebi, but
it is going to be Celebi for me. Great time traveler, but non-Celebi, Lucario, Merotom, Sky Shaman, Malamar has become my favorite Kalos Pokemon, and it is a linchpin to all my teams at the moment. I have just swept so many people with my Malamar, it's become my favorite.
Even after that episode with the evil Malamar?
Especially after that episode.
Would you ever consider a color other than green for the site?
Well, it did used to be golden. And as people have been saying for years, I do need to update my layout. I have been working on a few templates, but I'm going to keep the green and the gray and just going to soften them a little so they're not as hard on the eyes, if they are hard on the eyes. I personally don't think they are, but some people say they are. So I'm just going to soften the colors and just stick with the green.
Cool.
For you know, running Cerebi for so long, have you had communications with the Pokemon company? Have they ever reached out to you or vice versa?
Yeah, a few times. I mean, there was the infamous incident in 2010 when I reposted images from another site who got it from an alpha build. I mean, that was the first horrific contact, but that wasn't really the Pokemon company. That was just Nintendo's law firm. Just to get me to remove those images. But yeah, the Pokemon company sends me press releases about everything, and it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, officially, they can't say, "Hi, Cerebi, let's do this," because that'd be ridiculous. I mean, no company is going to do that with a fan site.
Right, right. I think it's well known that Pokemon obviously watches the fan sites pretty hard.
Yeah.
So, what do you use? This is going to get technical because, of course, I'm in IT. But what do you use for hosting now? Because you have a huge amount of data that you're presenting on the web. And, you know, obviously you would break GeoCities if you tried to what you have now in there. So what do you use for hosting?
I've got two dedicated servers with gigabit lines. And I've got one for the site, one for the forums. And people say that my site's really basic, but the thing is, it's deceptively basic. I have so many intricate algorithms and programs and scripts in the back end which compile static front end, because the site gets a lot of hits. If it was with the dynamic with the PHP and everything, then it would crash the server. I'd have to get a farm of like 5 or 10 servers just to handle the load. But because I create static pages, it really eases the server load down.
Yeah, and you know, where your site exceeds is that you guys, you have like that really detailed information, And so much of it, it's like, I can't imagine what kind of architecture you have just to store and organize everything on the back end.
It's just my own content management system I built just for the site. I mean, as I said earlier, I had no knowledge of things. And so I was looking at sites' web code back then, and I learned HTML through that. And it's just my knowledge has built from there, and I've got a degree in it now. And while people say, oh yeah, Cerebi site is so basic, it's a mishmash of 15 years of HTML and PHP knowledge. And recoding everything would be a massive undertaking. So I fix like glaring HTML and PHP errors when they're there. But if it works, why bother messing with it? That's my
answer. It's fast, and you have a ton of information that's easy to find. So what more do people want?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you see and that with it. Oh, go ahead.
I did have a few issues with navigation because in my head I had the perfect ordering of everything. I knew everything else and I thought it was an obvious ordering system, but people didn't cotton on to it and they said, oh, it's really hard to navigate. So I just had to start putting headers in and making things a bit more easier, even though I do have a search in the top right. But it's people don't notice that for some reason. Sometimes I don't notice.
I didn't notice that you had a search.
Yeah, you have to make your search box a little bigger. But honestly, yeah. It's linking into Google, so most people use Google to search your site anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that with a lot of older sites like Board Game Geek, which is probably the biggest board game site out there. It looks very dated, and like everyone demands, probably like just like you, everyone demands a redesign. But since there's so much content and how the back end works, it's just not that easy to like flip on a new theme.
Yeah, and I have been trying to code one which I can just put in and it'll automatically work on every page, but I know it'll break something. And I was trying to get it out for the site's 15th birthday, but I was expecting there to be a lull in game releases this year. I wasn't expecting Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire to be coming. And so that has just shifted my focus. And so the new site layout is delayed until I'm actually, you know, getting it done.
That makes sense. Now, when X and Y were dropping, you were the first to start updating with move pools and stats. And was that all you, or was that like a...
Oh, absolutely not. That would be insane.
I was like, man, this guy doesn't sleep.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not that good. That would require me to have like 18 arms.
I had a load of friends.
But I had a load of friends and a load of people just telling me when they got stuff and what the level ups were. And I used the level ups from the previous gens as a base, just so I had a base database there and people just comparing and seeing, oh yeah, this is different, this is different. And I'm still noticing a couple of input errors here and there. It's just minor ones, like ordering issues, like in Florges had some ordering issues. So I mean, that's just pretty pointless because they're all level one, but
right.
So I've had to fix that. It's just the Pokedex is always being slightly tweaked.
Got it. I'm out of questions, Will. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, there we go. I think unless Sarah, you have any other secrets you want to reveal to us?
Oh, secrets. I don't really have any secrets. I mean, just that I don't sleep.
Where are really. Easter eggs on the site? What do I click to get the dancing Pikachu to show up on the site?
Oh, God, my site never had that. You can't prove it. Yeah, when I do cover games, I do like shut myself out from the real world. I do forego sleep until I've got the bulk done. I mean, if you look at the coverage when I did Black and White, when I did Black and White 2, X and Y, even spin-off games, you will see that there is no gap in the postings for the first 2 or 3 days. And that's starting to kill me. I'm getting too old.
Where are your Art Academy drawings?
There are a few. I did post them on Meverse, just didn't want to post them on the site because they are That said, I did post a Celebi one to the European one, and it was the hottest post on the European Miiverse for the first 2 days.
Well, yeah, you guys already have Art Academy.
Yeah, you guys have to wait until October, which is a bit bizarre, but I guess if they think it'll sell better in October, wait till October.
Yeah, I feel like any Pokemon fan would love it right now, especially since there's like nothing to play until November.
Yeah, we need that summertime Pokemon game.
Yeah, Japan just had two, which is insane. I mean, they had Art Academy and they had Band of Thieves and 1,000 Pokemon, which is the hardest game I have ever had to cover. It's just such a pain because it relies so much on Street Pass. And obviously, I mean, on the south coast of England, there's going to be no one with Japanese 3DS and back game to Street Pass. And getting a Street Pass in England in general is tricky, unless you're at a special event or in London. And so that is just, I can't do that. So I had to rely on a friend in Japan to go to one of the passing stations where it's just continual Street Passes for the specific game. And just, he got me the information I needed for it. It's just don't think that game will actually make it out over here. Or over there in America.
Well, come on. I live in the nation's capital and I can't get a street pass for the life of me. So I doubt it.
Yeah. But it's free. Can't complain at that.
I street pass the same three people every day when I go to work. Nothing exciting there unless they're playing the same games.
Yeah, well, I street pass the same two other people, but they're both me. So
I started doing that too. So it's not going to be ashamed of.
All right. Well, I think that should wrap things up. What we'll do is we'll take one more break, and I think we got two emails to run through, and then Pokemon of the week, and we'll wrap up this show for you guys. And we are back once again to wrap up this show. I feel like I had something to say. Oh, yes. our next episode, 151, will be our last episode before our hiatus. We are taking pretty much all of August off and for various reasons, but we will be coming back before Ruby and Sapphire are released, and we'll have like little mini shows along the way to at least keep you guys somewhat entertained. But during the summer, we're going to do a small Kickstarter and raise some funds to buy better recording equipment and what do they call that stuff? Well, web hosting stuff, as well as I'm looking into a Blog Talk Radio. So when we record the shows that you guys can listen to it live, and then of course, we cut and edit and then put it into iTunes for those who want to listen on the road, because we've done 3 or 4 Blog Talk Radio shows and you guys seem to really like that. So it's not a free service, but if we could raise some funds, we can make it doable. I have one listener email, but I think Joe had like a hidden Easter egg on Cerebi.
Yeah, I suddenly remembered it during the break, and it is findable through directory manipulation from an old section, and it is actually the second layout I ever had on the site. The current one's the 11th, and this is the second, and it's from a forbidden page, and it's got red layout with bright green links, animated banner, and a text which, because I was, 13 and rude, it said, "I am afraid you shouldn't be here. Please press back and don't try again." God, I was so cruel back then. Yeah, if you see it, let me know.
That's awesome.
Then I'll delete it.
That's awesome. So if you guys want to give us emails, you can do so. That's sbj@pkmncast.com or just pokemonpodcast.com/contact, I think. There's a button on the site. You can find it. One of those things. But we will read your emails if you email us. So this one is from Tyler. He goes, "What's up, guys? I've loved your podcast before. Before I listened to it, I lost my way in the world of Pokemon. But then I listened to How to Get to Hoenn. I think that was like two episodes ago. On my birthday, and now I'm back. I'm a major Hoenn fan, so that's why I listened to it. By the way, what's your guys' favorite Gen 3 Pokemon? Give a shout out to Kippy. You guys are epic. Keep up being the best podcast ever. Thanks, Tyler." So, favorite Gen 3 Pokemon.
Hold on, I have to look up Hoenn on Serebii.
Oh, my favorite is... I'm also on Serebii right now, just looking through them.
Do you have a Hoenn-specific Pokedex? You must.
I don't actually have a link to that. I've got the pages all sorted, but I haven't actually gone live with it because it's a part of a game mechanic update I've been working on. You could go to the game mechanics and Pokeball levels. That's got a list of all the Pokemon and separate and spin-off games do the same.
I want to say I like Mudkip a bit, but I also like Rayquaza.
Slaking, maybe. I mean, it's a pretty powerful beast. I mean, one of my gimmicky, very gimmicky doubles teams just gets rid of Truant and just destroys people wherever possible. So, and it reminds me of me back when I was a teenager.
Slaking.
Hoenn actually has my least favorite Pokemon in it.
Your least favorite? What's that?
Grumpig.
What?
Yeah, I agree.
I love Grumpig.
I don't know why. I just hate Grumpig so much, and I always have. It's just, it has been the Pokemonification of my original dislike for Ruby and Sapphire.
But Spoink is so cute.
Yeah, Spoink's great, but Grumpig.
Has Shuppet and Bennett, Gen 3 introductions?
Yep. 353 and 354, respectively.
Yeah. And Duskull and Dusclops. Now, these are good. Tropius is a pile of garbage.
No, Tropius is so good. He's definitely going to get a Mega for sure.
That's like run a Tropius before. It can be pretty brutal if used right.
It's just ugly.
He has little bananas out of his chin.
Exactly.
It can feed on itself.
Oh, gross. Deoxys is in there. You can't complain about Deoxys.
Yeah, Deoxys is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm calling it, though. Tropius is going to get a Mega.
So who's your favorite Gen 3, Steve?
I don't know. I'm probably gonna say Rayquaza.
That's the easy call, dude.
Yeah, who doesn't like Rayquaza, really?
Oh, little Sky Snake.
I've got my shiny one. Happily sitting in my shiny box.
Did you soft reset for that?
No, it was a Japanese event.
Fair enough.
So Glalie and Snorunt are Gen 3, but Frostlass is not.
Yeah, that was Gen 4.
Yep. Metagross is Gen 3.
Megagross, definitely going to get a Mega.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if it didn't.
Pikachu is going to be the first Mega to be a basic Pokemon that Mega evolves, I bet.
Oh, that'd be such a pain for me to code in the Evo chain.
We're just going to skip Raichu because no one likes Raichu.
I actually had to create a separate function for Mega Gardevoir because there's no Mega Gallade. Because if there's one of both, then I could just have an easy algorithm for it. But with Mega Gardevoir and no Mega Gallade, it was just, such a pain. And when you look at the Pokedex page for it, it just looks so weird because there's just a gap right beneath it.
Well, I've got the best Gen 3 Pokemon. Shedinja. There is no other Pokemon like it.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
I did some, I did something really stupid with one back in Gen 3. I was using NetBattle. I was actually battling Smogon's leader then. And this was before I had any competitive sense. I sent out a Tyranitar first. And then I sent out my Shedinja. It's like, what was I thinking?
Oh, because of Sandstorm?
Sandstorm, yeah.
It's brutal.
Now in triples, you can have a Shedinja just be completely untouchable. I guess doubles if you set it up right.
Right.
I can explain it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, put safety goggles on it, just to protect it against the weather. Then skill swap sturdy onto it, naturally. So every hit just constantly stops doing it. Then paralyze it so it can't be poisoned or burned. And then all you have to worry about is confusion.
Mm.
But I have seen someone rage quit that.
That's pretty cool. Let's see what else we have here. We have Pokemon of the Week. And, oh, I remember what I was going to say. Skip Pokemon of the Week. We'll get to that in a second. when we did our April Fool's joke, which was Mega Raichu, we did a mock-up of Mega Raichu and designed it to look like a Korokoro scan. And we put on the site, and it was probably one of our like biggest traffic days ever, of course, because when there's a new Mega, everyone has to go check it out. And
yeah,
the biggest thing was like, if it's not on Serbi, it's not official.
Yeah, I see that quite often.
And we're like, yeah, we can't say anything because it's an April Fool's joke, so keep referring your friends here.
April Fool's is meant to have things like that. Not a year has gone by where there hasn't been a fake Pokemon which has taken off, or a fake Mega Evolution now. I mean, I stay away from that stuff because I know that if I post a fake, people would believe it.
Oh, because... and you would probably get way more hate than we ever did.
Exactly. So the most I've done for April Fool's Day is I had a Digimon banner because everyone did that. And I had a Super Princess Peach banner because of the SPP abbreviation of a site back then.
I remember that. I do remember the Princess Peach. That was pretty great.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right, now we can get to Pokemon of the Week. In celebration of Nationals, and since everyone has this Pokemon on their team, our Pokemon this week is Rotom, which is the electric ghost Pokemon that is pretty unique in that it can change its types based on what appliance it is.
Yeah, to put it in a box, and then it comes out of the box as whatever box you put it in, right?
Yes. I think.
Yeah. Although now you just select from a menu.
Yeah.
I haven't tried. It's in the Professor Sycamore's lab, right? On the second floor now. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so you can be normal Rotom, which is just electric ghost. You can be microwave oven, which is heat Rotom, and that is electric fire. You can be a washing machine, which I think is everyone's undoubtedly favorite.
Yeah, it's the most popular.
Wash Rotom, which is electric water. You can be a refrigerator, which is the Frost Rotom, electric ice, and then an electric fan. So you can be a Dyson, which is electric flying, and then you can be a lawnmower, Mow Rotom, as electric grass.
I love Mow Rotom. When Pokedex 3D Pro came out, I got a picture of Rotom with the AR markers, and I used the 3DS's original software for the Pikmin, and so I've got a picture of a Mow Rotom grinning happily whilst the Pikmin were running away and one of them fell down.
That's fantastic.
That's actually on my site's Facebook page's Pokedex 3D Pro album. So
that is awesome. Let's see what we got here.
So each of the Rotom forms learns a special move when it gets that form, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
No, there is no Rotom which beats a fan Rotom, which is electric flying with levitate and holding it in an air balloon. That's the best Rotom.
Well, I've used Rotom Wash and Rotom Frost in competitive battling. Each did particularly well when I used it properly, and particularly poorly when I did not.
One thing I've noticed lately is Heat Rotom has been getting a lot more usage.
Are people using what does it get? Heat wave or
It's overheat, isn't it?
over,
Yeah, overheat.
I don't know anything about Pokemon.
Its stats don't go up when it changes into a machine. It still stays at 440, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it does go up. I mean, Rotom and Kyurem are the only Pokemon so far, but it's probably going to do it in Gen 7, with forms which increase in base stats. Because originally, forms were just shuffling the base stats, whereas Rotom goes up from 440 to 520.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but speed drops and special attack, special defense rise, defense and attack rise, but speed drops.
Yeah, only by 5, though, not
Yeah.
that big a difference. But in some battles, one is the difference between life and death.
That's very true. It looks like if you get a shiny Rotom, it is just like red instead of orange.
Yeah,
Kind of
there's
like.
no differentiation with the color and its aura or what, its electric aura, which determines the forms. It's just all pale now when shiny.
Yep. Let's see here. Some trivia. Rotom has the most interchangeable forms of any non-legendary Pokemon. What is it?
What about Furfrow? I mean, I guess they're not forms which do anything, but
That's true. But do people care about Furfrow?
hell yeah.
I know a young lady in Canada who would drive to your house and smack you for saying that. Yes.
I've got my dandy Furfrow. It kicks some serious butt.
I have never given a Furfrow a haircut.
Neither have
Caught it, put it in the box, moved on.
I. Let's see. When Rotom transforms, it learns a new move in the same way that other Pokemon le may learn new moves, but upon evolving, the move is replaced if another Rotom possesses another object, and it is deleted if the Rotom transforms back into its original form. I think we talked about that. Rotom's alternate forms, along with Arceus's forms, were the only f alternate forms a Pokemon not featured in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon Explorers of Sky were the only. Oh, okay, I see. This trivia, Bulbapedia's trivia, is so freaking random. Disappointing. That's why we can't cover Gen 6 Pokemon for Pokemon of the Week. There's like little to no information about them.
Yeah. Rotom is motor backwards. There you go.
That is true. That
All
is
you need
probably the best trivia you can get on Rotom. Rotom
to
appears to be based off Pulseman, who is actually designed by Pokemon's designer Ken Tsurugimura, although it's inspired by an unexplained phenomenon of a ball of lightning.
Yeah, that's actually true. I mean, if I recall correctly, yeah, probably wrong, but the music when you encounter Rotom in Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum is like a variation of one of the pieces of music from Pulseman. I might be wrong on that. I can't quite remember.
I don't know. I've never played Pulseman.
No, it was on the Mega
Heard of
Drive or Genesis,
Pulseman.
so.
I don't know.
Let's see. Rotom appeared in the anime. The
Yeah, Professor
episode.
Oak has one now.
Yeah. That was a good episode, kind of, before they left Unova.
Yeah, one of the only good episodes of the Core Islands. It's like,
And he still
ugh.
shows up, like, right when they call back. They did an episode in X and Y where they called back and he was getting shocked by the Rotom, right? Am I
Yeah.
completely crazy? All right. Is
And
it?
in the Pokemon live cast from the Japanese one, it's always got Oak and a haiku, and Rotom's just there as well. It always starts with Rotom's cackling laugh, and that's the most hilarious thing ever.
I can't remember, but isn't like the new Professor Oak actually the voice actor who was Gary Oak in the original?
I'm not sure if that's possible. And I know they did keep a couple of voice actors. Well, a couple of voice actors came back after a few years.
Right. I thought like Gary was now Professor Oak because the original Professor Oak left. I could be wrong. I'm most likely wrong.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I don't know.
Well, Rotom was what, Gen 4?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm curious of how, like, as we get all these, like, new alternate forms, like Kyurem and Rotom and Deoxys, and, like, I feel like there has to be, like, one place in the new Pokemon games to, like, handle all these forms. Because it's starting to get overwhelming.
Yeah, I was starting to get worried that there's just so many, and you just have to, like, put people for everyone. Like, you have to get the Cresselia for Shaymin, and you have to get the plates for Arceus, and you've got to get the Reflection Mirror now, and you've got to teach Keldeo and Meloetta their moves. Thankfully, as far as we know, there's nothing like that in X and Y, other than Furfrou.
Right. And I guess like there's that one place for Rotom.
Yeah.
Well, I got nothing else, guys.
We have succeeded in making Rotom the most boring Pokemon ever.
5 different forms and nothing to say.
Well, competitively, it is one of the best, and it's one of the more common ones. And you'll see it in practically every single team at Nationals, except for the more unique teams. And it is armed typically with a choice item and Volt Switch, or just Life Orb sometimes. I saw a Life Orb one the other day.
Yeah, I've always done choice item. And Mega Rotom's ability is Magic Bounce.
What is Rotom's ability?
Levitate.
Oh, yeah.
Across all of them. Which is why the electric flying fan Rotom is just so ridiculous.
And it doesn't have I guess it used to be called Dream World, but it doesn't have a hidden ability?
No, most Pokemon with Levitate never got one. Same with Pressure. I mean, there's a couple of ones which did, like Dusclops, that's got bad Levitate, and that has now got a hidden ability, if memory serves, and Bronzong, that's got a hidden ability, but that's because Levitate isn't its only ability.
Got it. Do you guys have anything else?
If you need to, this is something I learned from Serebii, actually. When I was getting ready for the Northeast Regionals, and I needed to get an Akka Berry, you can use Rotom Frost, and he uses the Blizzard move outside of the city with the Rock Gym, Silage City, and he'll knock an Akka Berry off the tree 1 out of every 2 billion times of having a battle. But Blizzard is
really
one of the moves that'll knock a berry off. Yeah,
I really enjoy that feature. It makes the world seem more alive because there's things happening outside, well, inside, but outside the battle.
Yeah, your battle has an effect on the outside world.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of the original footage of Pokemon Battle Revolution back in 2005, if you ever saw that. I'm probably showing my age here.
No, trust me, I'm still older than you. but I will say, Serebii is the only place I could find a very clear and understandable listing of where those special berries that could only be found by knocking them off of a tree and the moves that would do that. I could not find that anywhere else.
That's what I try to do.
Well, how do you like prioritize things for your site? Like, if people are like, "Where is the berry stuff?" You're like, "Oh, now I got to start working on berry things." Or like, how does that workflow work?
Well, basically, start off with the main stuff. I'm going through the game, reporting everything I see, just gym leaders and bosses in Elite Four. That goes first. And as I go through it, I catalogue all the items and their locations. And then I tend to upload them in bulk when I update PokeEarth, which is my location database, if people don't know. And from there, it'll show the berries. I mean, then as I go through, I start working on the minutiae of the games. And that's how I discovered the wild items drops. Yeah, so basically, it's just random sometimes.
Awesome. Well, I think that'll do it for our show. Thank you guys both for being on.
Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Will, where can they find you?
On Twitter, I'm Wash in the Sink, WASHINTHESINK. But I have access restricted my tweets. So you need to get permission before you can follow me there.
Perfect. Joe, where can our listeners find you? I mean, I'm sure they know where to find you, but
If you want to interact with me, then either go on the site Facebook or just follow me on Twitter. It's at Joe Merrick. That's MERRICK.
There we go. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Dragging a Lake, DragingALake. And you can follow our show on Twitter, which is at Pokemon Podcast. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PKMNcast. And I think we need 4 more reviews to hit 400 in we need 8 more reviews to hit 400 in iTunes. So if you haven't left us a review, please do so. And if you do not listen to us on iTunes, you can always find us on Stitcher Radio, Scatter Radio, and Omni Radio, as well as the built-in audio player on our website. But thank you, Will.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are...
It's a ninja.
I'm the only one who did it. And I did it wrong again.
Always wrong. Good night, everyone. 's never been on the show, obviously. We'll do our intros, and then I will probably just ask you, Joe, to tell everyone who you are, but I think every Pokemon fan in the world knows who you are.
Right.
And then we'll do the news. We'll take a break.